Greek art and Greek myth really can't be separated. They're inseparable. Greek art depicts the myth,
mm-hmm.
and Greek myth explains the art. And we have all kinds of art that survives from the ancient world in sculpture and on vase paintings. And the same themes just keep recurring over and over. They keep saying the same thing over and over. And what it turns out to be, Greek myth is the story of mankind told from the Greeks' religious perspective. And
now,
their perspective was that instead of deluding mankind in Eden, the serpent enlightened mankind in Eden, and it was a good thing to take the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Similarities but different at the same time. About what period of time are we talking about with Greek mythology, when they started putting this together in writings and such?
Well, I think Homer goes back to around 750 BC, the same with the ancient poet Hesiod. About 600 BC, a group of artists began portraying those myths in art on vases, and by, I'd say, 500 BC, they developed a lot. And then the classical period, which is about 450 BC to 380 BC, the Parthenon was finished in 432 BC, and that is like the center of the famous classical era, and that's when their art reached its peak, and their art was all the time expressing the myths and the history of the human race. And that's what hasn't been uncovered. And basically, what we'll be talking about tonight, it's almost like we're on a cold case file,
mm-hmm.
a cold case investigation, and we're just going to go back to ancient Greece and look around and see if we can figure out what's up, what happened, and take a fresh look at the evidence. And we're going to be amazed at how obvious it is that Greek myth is the history of the human race. It tells the same story as the book of Genesis, except from the point of view that the serpent enlightened mankind.
Okay, all right, and we'll get into that, Bob. Now, in terms of the structure on this planet, we had, of course, a powerful Egyptian civilization. And then we had, what, the Greeks and then the Romans? Was it in that chronological order?
Yes. Of course, we had Sumerians and Hebrews and so forth
mm-hmm.
in the Mideast, and Persians and Babylonians. But Roman mythology is totally borrowed from the Greek. They just changed the names of a few gods, but it's essentially the same story.
How widespread was the influence of Greece during that period of the 500 BC era? Was it all over that region of the planet, or just where we have always known Greece to be?
Well, they sent a lot of colonists out throughout the Mediterranean region.
Okay.
And, they were the first really to settle Italy, evidently, and to go to Spain. And we've got a lot of vases, Greek vases, come from tombs in Italy from those early days.
Okay.
And, of course, they went to Egypt, and they went around the Mediterranean region.
Now, to get a really better understanding of Greek mythology, of course, we need to find out a little bit more of who these Greek gods were and how did the myths get created. We had, what, Titans and then Olympians as gods at that time period? That was what was created? Am I accurate there?
Well, this is the standard stuff you read in the mythology books, but they don't recognize that it's history. So they classify things in a way that really doesn't make any sense. And the biggest, the biggest celebration that the Greeks had was their victory, the Greek gods' victory over the giants. That's what they call them, the giants.
And you think they were really giant? Because we've always heard this now from a number of people that this planet had giants roaming the planet. I mean, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, even taller foot people. Do you believe that?
I don't know about that, because these giants were spiritual giants when you really analyze
the
facts. And they represented the Yahweh-believing sons of Noah. And that's what Greek religion celebrates. Greek mythology, Greek religion celebrates the victory over Noah and his Yahweh-believing sons. Those were the gods. That was depicted on one part of the Parthenon. There was a huge monument, the altar of Zeus at a place called Pergamum, which that was the main frieze. It just showed god after god crushing these giants, and they're not battling them. Some scholars say it's the battle between the gods and giants. Every time it's depicted, the giants are being crushed. They're on the ground, they're being beaten. Often they're being beaten down by the gods, and the serpent is helping the gods to defeat these giants. So I mean, that's one way of expressing what Greek religion is about. It's celebrating that victory over Noah and his Yahweh-believing children. Now, if you think back to the history, after the flood, Noah and his immediate family, and for a number of years, maybe up to 100, 200 years after that, everybody was very respectful of God. And everybody worshiped God because of the flood. But then gradually, there developed this desire to get back to the way of Cain, to get back to the serpent's wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And the leader in this effort, according to the scripture, was a guy named Nimrod. Now, what the Greeks did, Nimrod, Heracles, the great Greek hero Heracles, is that Nimrod figure transferred back to Greek soil.
Now, were these names you're giving us tonight, were they real people, or were they myths?
They were absolutely real people. Heracles is celebrated on the great temple of Zeus at Olympia. He's celebrated on the Parthenon. He's probably his painting appears on more Greek vases than any other figure. Why would you paint someone that didn't exist?